Could you give me your name, address, and age?
My name is James Bell. I'm 19 years of age, Clinton, Louisiana.
Are you a student now?
Yes, Southern University.
On the ground.
Could you tell your name and address and age?
Laura M. Spears, age 25, Clinton, Louisiana.
Okay, now let's just the three of us try to recollect what happened in the fall of 1963 when the movement had just started in Clinton. I think one of the first things that happened that fall was that there was a letter written to the town officials in Clinton, and I wondered if you could tell about how that letter got written and who signed it.
Well, first, a group of us, a committee of 12 people, got together and sat down and talked about the different things we wanted to ask the town, the mayor, the district attorney, and the sheriff's office. So 12 of us signed the letter, and it was sent in on September 19, 1963, asking for a biracial committee. And a couple days later, we received a letter from the district attorney. And several days later, we received a subpoena to go to court. But when we sent the letter, we weren't thinking anything about getting arrested because we were only asking for a biracial committee, not demanding one.
Yeah. Do you remember what the district attorney's answer was? As I remember, it was something about how biracial committees were part of the communist plot to undermine the United States, and he wasn't going to have anything to do with it. Well, when you were subpoenaed into court, what happened?
Well, the first time we went to court, our lawyers didn't show up that day because they weren't really supposed to be there, because we contacted the lawyers the same day and they said there wasn't any reason for them to come up there. Well, anyway, that day we didn't have any counsel at all, but all of us was put on the stand and asked our name and address and where we were a member of court. And we didn't answer anything. You know, we gave our name and address, but we didn't answer any other questions because we didn't have counsel. And they thought that was real silly because we said we didn't have counsel that day.
Yeah, well, this was the 12 of you who signed the letter.
The 12 letter signers.
And were you subpoenaed back to court after that?
Yes, several times.
Was that the time you were subpoenaed practically
every week? Yes, every week.
You had to go to court?
Just to hear our name called. And he dismissed court then.
Yeah, well, what finally happened in around December?
Well, on December 3rd, I was arrested and 11 others were arrested.
What were you arrested for?
Well, I was just getting off from work and the deputy sheriff came on my job and told me that I was under arrest. And I said, under arrest for what? He said, you know you all wrote that letter to the mayor and the district attorney and the sheriff threatening them. And I said, well, what's the charge? He said, public intimidation and criminal conspiracy. So they took us down. When I got to the jail, everybody was there except Mr. Herbert Bell and Mrs. Greenup and Reverend Transpers. And they fingerprinted me and everything, gave me the works, and then they locked us up.
What was your bond?
$4,000.
Yeah, how long did you stay in jail?
Well, I'll say about, I stayed in there about 5-6 hours. Some of the others stayed longer because they arrested them earlier because they were in town.
Yeah, did they treat you okay?
Just fine. They gave us supper while we were there.
Yeah, I can imagine what that was like.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, what happened after that? Did you all come to trial?
No. After December the 3rd, we didn't hear any more about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that Alice Thompson and I were subpoenaed shortly before that, either the end of November or early December, subpoenaed by the grand jury. And they called us up there and they wanted to know, did we know anything about the letter and who had written the letter and did we make people sign it and did we go to people asking them to sign it? And fortunately, I could answer very truthfully that I knew nothing about it because I wasn't in Clinton when that letter was written.
No.
I was in Plaquemine, and I told them that. And then they wanted to know where I was staying when I was up here that summer. Well, I had been staying out by Mrs. Greenup's, but I suddenly realized that they didn't know that. They had never realized that. So I wasn't going to tell them where I had stayed. So I just said I refused to tell them that. And they kept saying to me, well, you know, you could go to jail for 5 days for contempt of the grand jury or something like that if you don't tell. And I said, well, I've been to jail longer than that before. 5 days in jail isn't going to hurt me. And they never got it out of me where I was staying. And they asked Alice about the letter, and she didn't know anything about it either because she hadn't been in Clinton. And that was end of November, and then just several days later, they arrested everybody. And they arrested Ed Vickery at the same time, right?
Yes. If I'm not mistaken, they arrested Vick a day before us, or a day after one.
Uh-huh.
And they took him to Baton Rouge Jail.
Yeah. And nothing more has come of that.
No, we haven't heard anything else about it at all.
Yeah, and just for the record, there still isn't a biracial committee, is there?
No, it's not. Yeah.
Yeah, well, at the same time that fall, there was quite a bit of activity uptown in Clinton with picketing the stores. And James, could you recollect a little bit about how that picketing got started and what happened?
Yeah, in the summer of 63, a voter registration campaign was put on. After voter registration, work seemed to have bogged down. We felt that something else was needed to spearhead the people into realizing the true problem and the true necessity of registering to vote. So we felt that a boycott of Clinton would be just the thing. So we organized and we came up with picketing. So the town felt that this was illegal. And after some pickets hit the street, they began arresting most of the people that were picketing, mostly high school students that first day of picketing on October 13th.
Yeah, can you remember how many kids were picketing that day?
No, I don't remember the number. It's something like about 23. And they were arrested on trumped up charges such as contributing to the delinquency of juveniles. Myself, I was taking pictures, and so they arrested me and charged me with criminal conspiracy and some of the other charges, and they confiscated my camera and all the films.
Yeah, did you ever get it back?
I got it back about eight to 10 months later.
Mm-hmm.
Just the camera, no film.
Yeah, and they, when they arrested you all, they put you all up in the Clinton jail?
Right, they put us in the Clinton jail, and in that number we had some juveniles, and they transferred the juveniles to West Baton Rouge Parish jails.
Uh-huh. And weren't there some more people arrested the next day for trying to bring water up to you or something?
Yeah, there was a great freedom fighter. He was a NOLA guy. And we told him that we needed some water, so he brought some water up there. And the deputy who was over the jail was standing on the outside, and he said, well, I have some water for the inmates in jail. So he said, just set the water down there, and I'll carry it up to him. He said, no. He said, I want to carry it up there while it has ice in it. And so they began to argue. And the fellow wouldn't change his mind. He insisted on the water going up there. So he told him, if the water goes up there, you're going up there with it. So he ended up in jail.
Uh-huh. Was there anyone else arrested like that? Wasn't there someone arrested for standing outside the jail and yelling in?
Well, it was on that, see, James and those were arrested on a Saturday. And so they thought probably arrest all those, no one else would be able to pick it on Sunday. So we had some adults to pick it on,
uh-huh,
to pick it on
right,
Sunday.
That's right, yeah.
And then two older men, adults got arrested just for standing. You know, we sent people to observe while the others were picketing. And let's see, we had about 8 or 10 men to go up and two ladies. And they were also arrested that day. 14 more on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and how long did you spend in jail?
The juvenile spent about seven out of 10 days in jail, and we spent 24. There were three of us who were transferred from East Feliciana Parish Jail to New Roads. They felt that if they had transferred us, that they could have conned the rest of the inmates into going along with some of the things that they were trying to get us to do. And see, we had organized in jail, and just about everything that we were pushing for, we were getting it.
What kinds of things are you pushing for?
Like when we went in there, most of the linen on the cots was dirty. A better word, filthy. And some had bed bugs. The floors were filthy. The shower didn't work. No toilet tissue. A couple of the cots didn't have any mattresses and things like that. And so we petitioned for those.
And you got them all?
Got them all, yeah.
Uh-huh. Did the spirit go down after you left? After
no,
you were taken
not at
out?
All. No. Not at all.
Yeah, well, did the picketing continue when you all got out of jail?
Yeah, it went off and on, and there were a few other arrests. There's some of the ones that spend time in jail for that picket line went back to jail at a later date for the same thing.
Uh-huh. The juveniles were all stopped, though, from picketing, weren't they, because they were put on probation?
Right, yeah. They took the juveniles and they put them on probation for 5 or 6 years until they were 21 and things like that. So, they just about stopped them completely.
Yeah. And about how long did the picketing last? I know it was still going on in December and then into the spring, but sort of faded out then.
Yeah, around about the spring.
Yeah, so many of the kids left to go to work, probably in the summertime. That's what stopped some of it.
Mm-hmm. What kind of planning went into the demonstrations and the picketing?
There was quite a bit of deep planning into the program, such as nonviolent clinics, where we took the people that were going to be involved in the operation and taught them the rudiments of nonviolence, what to do if attacked, how to take falls and licks, how to make the correct approaches to the store and exits, and the right distances to march. All these were part of the clinic.
Yeah, and before kids went out on the line, wasn't everyone given telephone numbers and things like that of the lawyers?
Yeah, everyone was given telephone numbers of lawyers that say that they would help in the case of arrest or any legal advice was needed.
Mm-hmm.
And we had observers for every two picketers, and they had the telephone number of the FBI.
Mm-hmm.
And doctors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they would come back and make reports after
right.
each picketing.
Right.
Yeah. One of the bigger demonstrations, I guess, around here, at least one of the ones that led to arrest, was the business with the library. And, well, first of all, you were fired from the library, weren't you?
Yes, I was.
Yeah, well, why were you fired?
Well, as I told you, I was one of the letter signers. And I was subpoenaed to court several times. And really, we didn't know we didn't really have to go, so we went on. So on December the 15th, I think, or something like that, I received a letter saying that I had been fired from the library because of excessive absence from work. So the library was really segregated because they had a blue bookmobile for the Negroes and a red bookmobile for the white. And the library cards were even had a distinction about them because you stamped Negro on the yellow card for the Negro, but the white just had bookmobile 2 on there.
Uh-huh. And
bookmobile 1.
Uh-huh. What was your job?
Oh, I was library assistant on the Negro bookmobile.
Uh-huh.
I checked out books and, you know, and I was in charge of the bookmobile.
And could Negroes go into the library building?
No, they couldn't.
So if a Negro wanted to borrow a book, he could either get it from the bookmobile. That was the only way he could get it.
That was the only way. Requested from me, and if I didn't have it, if they had it in the library, they'd even check it out through the library, through me, and through the other bookmobile.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, what happened with the demonstration now?
Well, on March 7th, Henry Brown and 4 other young men from West Louisiana Parish decided to go try and borrow a book from the library uptown. And they asked for the book, The Story of the Negro. And I wasn't there, but I was told that Mrs. Perkins and Mrs. Reed was on duty. And when Henry asked for the book, she said that she didn't have the book, that she was sent to the state library and get it and mail it to him. But they still insisted that they wanted to browse around in the library. So she asked them to leave, and they didn't leave at the time, so she called the sheriff and they arrested them for disturbing the peace. And they had to go to court several times.
Yeah, and I should just add that I was also arrested at the same time as a material witness for the state. And at two of those trials, they put me on the stand and they asked me a lot of questions about, were these boys members of CORE, and when did we have the meetings to plan that library sit-in, and where had those meetings been, and who was there, and they were trying to make it look as though I had planned the whole thing. And I refused to answer most of the questions or said I didn't remember or I didn't know. And the boys went to the library because they wanted to borrow a book, and that they were all very mad that they hadn't been allowed to use the library building. And, oh, I remember a couple of days, I guess the day after the boys were arrested at the library, I was at home at Mama Joe's, and the district attorney and the sheriff came to pay a visit, and they started asking me all those same kinds of questions. And I thought that was a highly illegal procedure, because they were questioning me on the front porch of my home, and of course I had no counsel or anything, and I kept saying I refused to answer because I didn't have any counsel present. And finally they said, well, look, who's your counsel? And I told them, and they said, will you go inside and call him up? And I did that, and the lawyer said I should go right on saying what I had been saying. So finally they stopped and went away. And then 2 days later, there was a subpoena out for my arrest as a material witness. So we all ended up spending those days in jail. Now, could you just tell about what finally happened to the library itself? Was it ever integrated?
No, it wasn't ever integrated, but they closed the library down. It really, we won in one way, because the white people can't go in the library either. They have to be served just by bookmobile and through request, because no one goes in the library but the employee.
Yeah, yeah, and meantime, the 5 boys sued the state for false arrest or something like that in a case called Brown versus Louisiana. And that case worked its way up to the Supreme Court, and just this spring, the case was decided in favor of us, and their convictions were reversed. It was a very important case. So I guess the library really made Clinton famous.
Well, since then, Mrs. Perkins, the lady that was head librarian there, resigned and went back to Chicago to live.
Yeah, I've heard from a very reliable source lately that next coming season, I don't know what they mean by season or what date, but the next time the library opens up, will be integrated.
Yeah, well, that's good to hear. Now let's talk a little bit about the federal registrars coming in. First of all, when did they come in? last August?
Yes,
at the end of August, 1965?
I think so.
And they came in just before I left. Could one of you describe the kind of reaction that produced in the community and the way people turned out?
Yeah, the Negroes felt that it was the end of the road, it started describing. It was sort of a jubilant-type attitude that all the Negroes had taken. And the whites felt that if it was the federal government intruding over the state and dominating it. And they felt that it was quite illegal, and they said it was unconstitutional. But the federal registrars took up residence in Clinton and opened their office up, and the applications weren't any more long and drawn out, where you have to be a history student, a grad student to pass the exam.
Yeah, and as I remember, people really crowded into the office, and there were lines stretching up the street, people waiting to get into the office.
Yeah, right. I say on an average it was about on an average of about 120 something, 130 something a day. Sometime it even bettered that.
Uh-huh. And this was in the heat of the summer, right?
Right.
And people standing out there waiting to get registered.
There was also the need for transportation then, because a lot of the rural folks didn't have transportation. Their husband would be working during the day, and they had no mode of transportation. So community organized and set up carpools where they would go and pick up different people from different areas and bring them to register, and then take them back home.
Mm-hmm. About how many people got registered?
About 1,500 added on to the 80-something already registered by the parish register already.
Okay, well, I think we can thank the three of us very much.